We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Even last year when the thing was great, whatever, I didn't believe the hype. You know, I know there's more important things, and this is more life. This is who I am. I learned a few years ago that this is just a game, and I understand how big the game is here in the city that we play, but nobody's going to take the joy out of me. You know, I love the game. I love what I do on a daily basis, regardless of the results. Sometimes, I mean, it's not fun, you know, in the fact that, yeah, we want to get going and we start playing better. This is who I am. I'm going to come here every day, prepare, ready to go, put the players in a position they're going to be successful. We were, what, 1-5? I don't even know what it was. I say, remember last year when we were like 6-1? We didn't believe the hype, so don't believe this either. You know, this is going to even out. We're going to get back to this. How soon is on us.
Alex Cora staying true to himself. The one thing I will say is, think of the run he's been on. So he was the bench coach 2 years ago with Houston. Houston won 101 games during the regular season, and then they won the World Series. And a couple of rough rides during the course of the season with some injuries to their starters. Then the very next year, he becomes the manager of the Boston Red Sox. First-year manager, wins 108, ends up winning 119, and yes, wins another World Series ring. And so this is totally foreign to him at 3-9.
See, and that was kind of my question. I don't know if what Alex Cora is really like. I have no idea, because he's had 2 years where he's had a ton of success, two World Series championships in a row, and no criticism whatsoever.
None.
And don't when you're 17-2. You know what I mean? It's easy to admit that you made a mistake when you're 17-2. When you're 3-9, it's a different look. It's a different feel. So when he walked in, I was like, wow, this guy is just doing this on purpose to either convince the players on his team that, hey, if I'm not worried, you shouldn't be worried.
Yeah, I do think it's important for him to be consistent. Because you when you brought it up to him, the whole flight attendant, right?
Yeah.
Just the chaos, and that's when you start panicking. Stewart. This team knows what Alex Cora is like. You know, so when you start off 3-9, you can't go and flipping tables and start shredding these guys individually. I think all you need with a guy like Cora, and one of the great things of having a player coach, and a player's type of coach, is that these guys really respect him, right? They love their manager. So if you express any kind of disappointment, sometimes it just takes the smallest thing, a look, whatever it might be. That should be able to bounce a player back. In other words, you're 3-9. If he walked into that locker room yesterday with everyone's there getting dressed, and he walks in the locker room and just says, hey, let's go, pick it up. That's it. That's your meeting. And it's just a couple of words. You know, and everyone just is like, okay, you know, Alex, if he says something like that, he's disappointed us, then you start to actually feel bad. And you got to look yourself in the mirror. But they do. They do look like a team. Like, he doesn't think that's the case. But they do look like a team that won a World Series last year and just thinks that they can show up and win.
They're fat and happy right now. That's what they look like. You know,
that's what they look like.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, but he is downplaying some of the losses, some of the issues that attribute to the losses as once-in-a-lifetime type situations.
Well, the hit and run
the fourth inning.
Yeah, it's unique, so, but like I pointed out, it is. You don't see it much. First and second, you see first. Not first and second, but as I pointed out, that wasn't even it. It was the miscommunication during it. You know, the fact that Pedroia's covering second, Devers is covering second, they both were covering second. That doesn't happen. You don't do that. That's why you have signs.
So just
let me know where I'm throwing the ball to.
So how, I mean, you can just only go to that well and use that once in a lifetime. Oh, it doesn't happen a lot. There's so many times. So I get the personality. I get the goodwill. I get the great attitude. I think it's important, obviously, because if I saw my manager walking around, you know, all bummed out with his head down this early, I'd say we need a new manager. Because you need a guy who can obviously be a little bit more progressive and think
and
you know, big picture.
They're going to play more teams like this Toronto Blue Jay team. We talk about bad teams in baseball. Well, if you have a lineup like Toronto, this is how they're going to play.
Small ball.
This is how you know Baltimore's going to play. Yep. You know, they don't have the high payroll to just sit back. Like we pointed out, the small ball that Toronto was doing, people can watch that game and say, oh, that's great. Well, who are you going to do that with the Red Sox? The bottom third of the order, maybe. Yeah. Maybe, right? I mean, you're going to go with Pedroia, Vasquez, Swihart, Jackie, right. Okay? But, You know, you want a first and second one-out hit and run with Mookie or Xander or JD or Devers, you know, or Benintendi? You're not going to call for that. You got to play to your personnel. Moreland, Pierce, no, you're not going to do it.
Not great.
But they got a lot of teams that are going to be aggressive, and they're going to attack them. And they're going to, you know, bunt and run. They're going to double steals. They're going to try to steal runs because their roster's not as good as you. And it worked for Toronto the other day. That was an aggressive team, and Red Sox weren't.
Yeah, I would expect the same type of small ball tonight because they simply don't have the personnel to go out there and slam home runs up into the green market.
Can't sit back and get a slugfest with the Red Sox with that roster.
No.
You'll lose.
And by the way, as much as we talked about the catcher yesterday, just kind of laughing the whole thing off with Chris Sale, if you're going into that game against Boston, you're looking at Chris Sale and you're sitting there going, we're not going to get the ball out of the ballpark an awful lot with him. So we have to manufacture runs. We have to do something. So I agree. I think you're going to see more and more of that stuff with some of these bad teams. And we keep on saying it, and it is early. I'll throw it out there again. It's early. But the stats that we're starting to see right now with teams that play below 500 in the first month of the season, it's really pathetic when you see where they finish. Now, can this team get around that? Maybe. Maybe they can get around that because they're so freaking good.
Well, the problem with those net numbers, I just feel like they're skewed a little bit too. Tell me how many playoff teams do that. You know, because we can sit here and say teams are under 500 record. I'm pretty sure Baltimore's got under 500 record. Right? We knew before the year started they're not gonna do anything. So there's more than three quarters of those teams, I'm sure, are under 500, and everybody knows they're not going to go to the playoffs.
Yeah, this could be because of the talent
on
this team.
How many teams that are as talented as this one, you know, returning World Series champions, returning, you know, playoff teams, not the Marlins under Dombrowski, who the minute they won the World Series, they just sold everybody off. I'm talking about teams that should make the postseason that are under 500 that make the postseason. You know, that's what I'm more concerned with, because the Red Sox at 3-9, the Orioles, if they're 3-9, you can sit there and say, Orioles aren't. Red Sox, they got a chance because of the talent.
The Red Sox are capable of going on a 12-game winning streak or 14 out of 15 or 16 or something like that, and Baltimore's not capable of doing that. But I do think there's got to be a sense of urgency. You can't get too far behind this. Now, what's helping you right now is the Yankees are having their problems. They just dropped a 3-game series in Houston, all right? The Rays who were taken off. And they might be legit for a while. They can't afford injuries, but they've got three starters right now. Actually, four starters that are pitching well for them right now. And they're hitting, for power. Okay? So that's what you got to be worried about, I think, is that they can hang in there unless they get injuries because they don't have an awful lot of depth. It might be the greatest baseball franchise. When you think of the last 15 years and you talk about the payroll and you look at how they constantly turn out constantly good teams that simply can't win because they can't sustain it, right? They can't do it over a long period of time because they can't go out and get that other player to plug in to that position where they're weak. But it's amazing to me what that franchise has done with $60 million a year.
Yeah, and they can't improve. I mean,
say
the Red Sox is probably the greatest Red Sox team in the history of the organization. Is that fair to say last year? Do they win the World Series without improving at the deadline? With Pierce and Eovaldi?
No, two most valuable guys.
Pierce was your most valuable player.
That's it, right? I mean, as good as they were last year, they still needed pieces. You know, Kinsler, he did help. I know he booted the ball in the World Series, but they still needed to add, and you're right. That's why Tampa's a very good team, and the organization's been great. They just, they're not allowed to go out and get that guy to get him over the hump.
Everybody thought it was Joe Madden. Remember, everybody said it was all Joe Madden. Friedman, of course, did a great job down there in personnel and finding players. The other thing that they did really effectively over the years is before they lost players, because they knew they couldn't keep players, they couldn't sign players once they became free agents, they dealt them off, got other draft picks. So it became a cycle.
Yeah,
we'll keep the guy for 4 years, and then we'll get another guy for 4 years, and another
like
guy
a college
for four
program.
Years. Yes, very similar. But you got to give them all the credit in the world. Why don't more of these small market teams follow that plan down there?
It is interesting because they're not forced to. I would say that would be it. They're forced. They have money, so they can do it. I would say having money would make things a lot easier on you. And this, by the way, let's say you do that. You trade that guy before he becomes a free agent, and you trade him for prospects or draft picks, whatever it is. There's a great unknown there. How do you know that cycle that you're talking about is going to continue?
No,
maybe
you're right.
You know, you have no idea. So you want to get a proven player. They're doing it the hard way.
No, you're right, because imagine if they were a big market team. and they traded Price for the year left, and they traded Longoria. I'd be like the Red Sox coming in this year trading away Mookie.
Right.
Trading away JD, because trading away Chris Sale, because they're going to be free agents. We can't afford them. When they do it, people sit there and say, oh, okay. They get the benefit of the doubt because they know they can't keep him.
Yes.
You know, but the other interesting thing, though, was what he said about Sale. You know, because he's right. The off-speed is whatever, but the fastball, last year in his first three starts, he threw his fastball 67, 66, 68% of the time. This year, 40, 33, and 38. He ain't throwing his fastball, let alone his breaking stuff ain't working. I mean, half the time. He's throwing half less fastballs this year than he has last year.
But so he's lost. So he has lost. Do you equate that to injury, philosophy, or the fact that he's so discombobulated mentally that's why you would attribute those numbers to? Because to me, if a guy tells me he's lost, you can't give me any stats whatsoever because they don't mean anything.
You know
when the guy
says,
I don't know what I'm doing. There's no trend. There's no...
Given what he did last year, we all know they took it easy on him. But when the more you throw, the more you tighten up your mechanics. You know, and the more you tighten up your release point, everything, your leg kick, your front shoulder, opening up too soon, the less you throw, it's harder to be consistent with that. And I think that's where he is. Mechanically, he's just off. He hasn't thrown enough. You know, and especially in these games, I mean, he's not lasting long enough in games to figure it out. But mechanically, you watch how many balls, arm side, he loses. Change-ups, way down a row, way non-competitive. Not even close to the zone to get the guy to think about it. Sliders, just missing. Fastballs, just missing. Like, mechanically, he can't repeat. You know, and it's going to come with time. He needs to throw more. You know, and that's not going to get that done by lasting four innings.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Alex kind of wrote all of that stuff off as the approach was the same last spring. And we've looked up the numbers. The approach was not the same. They had fewer innings, a lot fewer innings by these guys. Plus, last year, Alex and other, I don't know if the other players were, but Alex was charged up about the fact that they were winning all of these games in the spring. And we were kind of laughing it off at the time.
The big difference is, like, you know, you talk about bullpens, and they have aggressive bullpens and all these other terms that they have. They wanted to take it easy on him. They wanted him to dial it down last year because of what happened his first year in Boston. But I'm not so sure he threw less. I think it might have been with less effort. So he might have thrown as much. He just, you know, in games they limited him a little bit. But the side sessions, you know, I think that mechanically he was more dialed in. He might not have been max effort 97 first bullpen or first spring training game. But he was throwing the ball, so he's consistently getting his mechanics down, his release point down. Right now, he just looks off.
And that may be all it is right now. It is not enough repetitions to be able to get all of his mechanics down. On the other hand, you look at him, you look at the frail body.
I don't think he's hurt.
But you look at where he's worn down every year, dating back to the White Sox in the last couple months of the season, and you look at it, and I look at that Jeff Passan piece yesterday where there were a lot of rolling of the eyes of other major league teams. Now, maybe part of that was, oh, good for the Red Sox, stick it to the Red Sox. You always want to do it. Right, exactly. But on the other hand, you look at it and say, does he have the body type to be able to go out there and throw the number of innings you need from an ace pitcher? Can he do that? And
a lot of people talk about his body type. I mean, I think we should move past the body type.
Why?
He's tall and skinny. I mean, that's it. He's been tall and skinny his entire life.
Yeah, but those guys, right? if you look at it on the whole in history, they don't necessarily have long careers.
Yeah,
right?
But I would also say, some guys that are just bound up and they have a tendency to break down because they have no flexibility, because they are too bound up. This guy seems like a rubber band.
Sabathia.
He's like Slender Man. I may be kidding. It's just the way it is. So that to me doesn't bother me.
We're going to do that though every time he goes out there and he looks
fat.
Like he's looked recently. We're going to sit there and question it. And he's going to get questioned far more now because he's on the books for a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll talk about these things we've been talking about here in the first hour. We will also get to, in the next segment, we'll get to some dysfunction in the National Football League. Do you remember a year ago when everybody was talking about New England being dysfunctional? Well, they went on to win the Super Bowl. But we have a couple of other choices, real dysfunctional teams.
Last call.
And coming up,
Fourier saves his job.
What's that again?
Last call.
What last call?
You make the call.
You call it. Whatever
it
is.
You call it.
I'm so nervous.
It's coming up at 3:30. Why are you nervous?
Because I'm a little nervous about this.
No,
this
you're
topic.
Good. You're good.
Why are you a little nervous about this topic?
Because
you'll be just fine, Christian. Hey, sure. Yeah, I got you back.
Are we all together on this?
You can handle a suspension better than all of us.
True.
You understand
Lone
how it works.
Wolf.
We'll do that too.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
I'm a big believer of what I said in spring training, what I went through in the off season, and you know, different coaches coach different ways. You know, it just happened that, you know, in my first year, good things happen, and I learned from it right away. Obviously, I'm still learning. I have a lot of conviction in the things that I believe in, and you know, it's just 3-9. That's it. You know, I know it doesn't look great. Is a bad start, but at the same time, I know the talent that we have. I know that pitching is going to get better. You know, if you tell me over 160 games this is going to happen, I'll pack my things and go home. But I do believe, like right now, you know, our pitching is going to carry us throughout the season, and that's the key for us.
Is that like a Magic Johnson threat? If my starting pitching doesn't start, I'm getting up. I'm going
home. Oh, yeah.
I'm quitting. Is that what he's doing?
The thing is that he's got that right mentality, but. It's easy to feel comfortable with, hey, listen, I got Nathan Eovaldi coming up. I should be able to sleep at night. Yeah. I got David Price. I should be able to sleep at night. No big deal. Rodriguez, well, you know what? Maybe I'll toss and turn a little bit.
Yeah, he should be able to sleep, though. I mean, you know, really. Yeah,
he should, but
that
it's
was one
not
thing
working.
When you look at the team and you sat there and said, okay, you know, not many teams have five guys that have accomplished some things in this game every single night. You know, they always sit there and, you know, they hold their breath for a start or two. But these guys have five guys that take the ball that you should feel good on a nightly basis, especially with this lineup, on paper. But none of them. And I tell you, it isn't just the pitching. It's the defense. Yeah, it's the base running. Yeah. It's the offense. You can talk about where they are offensively, but you know, they're great. So they're top third in baseball. This shouldn't be a team that's top third.
No. They like to say in football, they suck in all three aspects of the game. Right?
I think we have five number ones.
Exactly, all three of them. We're broadcasting OMF Live today at the WEEI Ford Clubhouse Studio over here at Fenway Park. So I'm going to test you, and then we're going to talk
test
about
two.
Dysfunction in the NFL, the two of you.
What?
So the Orioles were trailing in their game, I believe, to the A's 7-0. They got within two now. It is 7-5. They are in the eighth inning. There are runners on first and second for the Orioles. Now, they're down by two runs. Chris Davis just came to the plate. What do you think Chris Davis did?
He did a three-run bomb.
Hold on. Struck out looking.
Not only did he strike out looking, he looked at all three pitches. He got three pitches.
Wait, he walked.
No, all three were
but
strikes.
He has walked in this game.
But that was early,
doesn't matter,
right?
He's still 0-for-3.
He's 0-for-53 right now.
At that point in time, wouldn't you just swing at everything? Just to make contact.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing.
I would just swing at everything.
If I'm facing Chris Davis, I'm throwing first pitch changeup. I'm throwing first pitch breaking ball because I know that. Yes. A lot of times you're going to go, okay, you get up to the plate and like, he's going to throw me a cookie first pitch. I'm just going to swing. And the next thing you know, it's like a slider or a changeup. You know?
I would bunt. You, throw a bunt down just to get on base.
Have you ever seen?
They do shift there. They do shift him a lot. I'm serious. They,
a bunt?
So, because he's not a bunting threat. Like, no. If you are him, you got to take it down.
It's not a home run hitting threat anymore. Nothing either. Threat. It used to be. I've never seen anything like this.
Throw strikes?
This is what you see when a guy's 38 or 39 years old and it's time to hang him up, right? This is a guy that has 3 years plus the rest of this year remaining on his contract. The contract was, what, $145, $150 million? How is this possible that your game goes this south just like that? Whammo. Something happened. It's not an injury, is it, Lou?
No.
It's not a physical
but I would
problem?
Say, but I would say
no,
that.
No,
maybe
no.
Unless the entire body is breaking down.
Did he clean up a few years ago? I have no idea.
Well, that might change the numbers when it comes to the power numbers, wouldn't it?
Might change everything.
Really?
Bat speed. You know, and now all of a sudden you don't feel like you have the same bat speed, so now you guess a lot. Now you change your swing because now you're out front. Now you're jumping at balls. It might psychologically changes everything.
So you think he might have juiced to get the $145 million?
I don't know what the kid's doing right now, but he couldn't hit last year. He
made a lot of money on that. That was a good
see, if that's the case, then he's proof that it's worth it to juice.
Yeah, you just put the needle right in your ass. And boom.
Go ahead, just take that needle, make that money. All I know is what are we worried about? I got paid.
You can sit there and say, well, just release him. I mean, they got to have what, 3 or 4 years left of a lot of
three
cash.
In this.
Can they send him down?
Oh, he's probably got too much time.
He's out of options.
He could probably accept it.
They're going to have to release him.
I would.
How long can you go with
to be sent down?
This has been going on now for 2 years.
Yeah, somebody needs to just.
I don't know what you do with him. Put him on the bench. It's not like okay, you play with a 24-man roster. You put him on the bench. He can pinch hit once in a while. He plays once in a blue moon, you know. And it's not like the Orioles are going to win anything. It's not like, you know, the Red Sox had a guy like this. They'd probably be like, we can't afford it. We're trying to accomplish something. We need a roster spot or another good team. But the Orioles.
But it's not like he's an attraction at the ballpark. They get 6,000 the other night for their game. All right,
they might start going now just to see his ass.
Yeah, maybe. Just to see how bad he is. All right, so everybody did this last year. SI did it. ESPN, ESPN the magazine. Everybody did. The dysfunctional New England Patriots, because there were some problems.
Here comes the cliff.
Exactly. There was Gronk, and there was Brady, and there was Belichick, and they hate their coach, and everybody hates everybody else. And then the team goes out and they play, and they're a little shaky during the regular season. They had a abnormal 11-5 year. Then they go on to win the whole thing. And we're sitting there going, okay, never mind. And then we find out, deep-rooted, that we have had the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Green Bay Packers. Would you say they're one of the haves, one of the teams you would look at and say, those are teams that any year can be in the mix, that could be Super Bowl contenders.
They have a top five quarterback in the league. They're always an option.
Right. Things of that nature.
And we're finding out they are so freaking dysfunctional. It is absolutely amazing. So we saw the Aaron Rodgers stuff last week, and we're seeing more of the stuff with Pittsburgh. Now, it started with Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, and now the latest is Rashard Mendenhall. So the ex-Steelers are coming out of the woodwork right now.
How long has he been there, the running back? Was it 3 years since he's been there? 4 years?
Long enough, I guess, to have an opinion.
He's been a while.
Probably.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Glenn, you know what? I'll look that up.
Look it up. Okay. Look it up.
Okay, go ahead.
So he comes out. 2012 was his last year.
Wow, he got that quick. Look how quickly he got that.
2012. Wow. Got some help.
Oh, of course
he did. A little bit of
2012.
A little bit.
Good job, Lou.
So he comes out today, and he's basically calling the quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, a racist.
Okay, do you have the tweet?
Yes.
Okay, so hold on. So this was
doesn't he say it's no big deal, though?
Well,
this is all a setup.
He did that later.
Okay, because he tweeted this out at, well, I'm going to say 4:30, 4:45 a.m.
Yes.
In the morning.
Yes, middle of the night.
Okay. All right, I'll end the mystery. B's racist. That would be Ben. B is Ben.
Yes.
And AB40, which would be Antonio Brown, is black. He had to catch balls from a racist quarterback. Every honest player knows it. It's not a big deal. He was just supposed to take his lickings and move on like a slave for real.
Ooh.
Oh, a lot of attention. Ooh. Oh, my God. What does he mean?
Why does B throw the ball to Juju?
That's a good question.
It's not against the law to be racist.
See, here's the thing. I already know what the second tweet is, so I'm not even going to take the bait and sit there and go, well, but this guy's black. What about Pouncey? And his coach is black.
When did we become so comfortable we can throw the racist word out there now?
What was the follow-up? Do you have the follow-up?
Here's the follow-up. Clearly, it's no fun when everyone's the accused. Please allow the dialogue in sports to be equal. Why is it so easy to shoot at one player but not the other? B's not racist, just like AB's not a dirtbag. Hashtag, let's be fair.
Okay, so he's teaching us all something. He's so evolved.
He's trying to educate us.
He's so bright. See what he did there? He's just teaching us all a lesson. He does the same thing everybody else does, right? Ordway's a jerk, a glue, stupid, whatever, right? And then he comes out and says, you know, I can make an extreme comment, make an accusation just as easily as anybody else can against Antonio Brown. Doesn't mean they're right. Everybody's allowed to their opinion. So he comes up with
some... So that was his example of that.
Yeah, but instead of using the guy as a jerk, he goes to racist. So let's just even... That's as careless and as dumb as anything I've ever heard. Like, let's call him a racist. Let's not call him a dirtbag. Let's not call him a selfish player. Let's call him a racist. Let's throw that out there. Even though it's not true, and even though he's trying to teach us all a lesson because he's so much smarter than us, let's do that.
First one came out at 4:45 a.m. Nothing good happens at 4:45 a.m.
What time did the second one come out?
Second one came out 3 hours later at 7:44.
So he let that marinate. He watched Twitter. He watched it being retweeted. He watched the comments, and he said, you know, now it's time for me to close this lesson off with another.
He felt some of the pressure.
He passed out at 5. He woke up at 7.
You think he really? Because basically, my first thing goes, okay, give me an example. How is he? His coach is black. 80% of his team is black. You tell me he would be the only person he's a racist.
That was his way of saying, you know, people are saying outrageous things about Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say something outrageous about Ben, because that's people are being careless with what they're saying about Antonio.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to come back hours later, and I'm going to teach you all a lesson. See, listen, I don't really think Ben's racist, but you don't like it, huh? You don't like it. It doesn't feel good, does it, to be accused of something? Now, why are you guys accusing AB of something? You know, I think that's his lesson learned, I think, 3 hours ago. That's how I take it? Is that right or wrong? Right?
But I think it's quite interesting that, and you were just talking about Mike Tomlin. Tomlin has been more protective in all of this crap, this dysfunctional crap that we've heard out of Pittsburgh. He's been more protective of Ben Roethlisberger than anybody else.
That's leadership.
So why would Mike Tomlin do this if the quarterback happened to be racist?
I start with the thumb.
Why would he? Why would Mike Tomlin be protective of him, going out of his way to say he's the one guy that goes out there that we can depend on game in and game out?
You want to read this?
Sometimes you got to cut your eyelids
off. This is
off.
Roman Foster. So this is what happens when Twitter goes crazy and it figures that it's coming from the Steelers. So this is from Roman Foster. And this says, he tweeted this out, public service announcement, okay, a Steeler. He says, contact me or Marquise Pouncey or anyone else that you feel comfortable with about anything else next time. I pass this through a few guys still in the locker room, and they are okay with it. Basically, so listen, don't talk to people who aren't on the team, that aren't affiliated with the team, that have been traded away. If you want to know what's going on, if you want the truth, come to us. We're going to shoot you straight. Because we're honest.
What is dysfunctional?
And we're not going to be influenced by anything. We don't have an axe to grind. I mean, this is insane.
It's insane.
What goes on with this team?
Well, it was just an Instagram post. He went no deeper with it. And it says, whoever you have an issue with, we will get you their number so you can address them. I promise. These media takes might give you all good traffic on social media outlets, but the guy still in that locker room, who y'all still know personally, have to answer for those comments. So call them what you want, but call them personally and tell them. Defend who you want to defend to, but don't have to mention the team at all. Whether you have a ring or played 1 year, enough, chill. Most players at one point in their life want to take their kids back to the place where they once played. Don't burn them too many bridges. So he's just going off on these former players. And I bet you Aaron Rodgers probably want to send the same thing out, too. Former players left and right talking about what Aaron was like years ago. And Mendenhall last played in 2012.
Yeah.
Really?
We got to get to Aaron Rodgers. I have a theory on Aaron Rodgers as it compares and contrasts to our good friend Tom Brady.
We'll do that next hour, and we'll get into that. Because I laugh right now. We were getting all worked up at cryptic messages last year about the Patriots and how dysfunctional they are. And compared to these other two teams, two talented teams, are you kidding me?
Sorry to put you through it.
Exactly. Thank you, Bill.
You ready?
Should be sorry to put us through it. All right, we've got it. You call it, and you picked once again.
I lost again.
Yeah, Christians, I did too. Christians,
I won last week, I think.
Did you win last week?
Christians. Glenn's never won. The what I see on Twitter is that Ordway doesn't put his heart into it. He basically just...
shows up.
Mails it in.
Sort of. Yeah, that's right. Anything you want to talk about? I don't know. I'll talk about this. Yeah.
Make you work a little bit. You know? Work at your craft a little bit.
Hard. Do. We got hard. This team got hard.
You're not going to Vegas. All right. Christian is upset because he sat on an airplane and there was a large person sitting next to him that was occupying part of the seat that Christian's ass was sitting on. And that's a real problem for him. We've got it for you coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI. Time now for You Call It Thursday.
Are you serious?
One topic voted on and chosen by you, the audience.
That scares the hell out of them.
OMF. For the people, by the people.
I give ourselves a 10.
Now, You Call It Thursday on WEEI.
I don't understand. I lost this thing. I only got 19%. Mine was NBA.
I'm thinking about next week.
I had Teddy Sarantis coming on as a special guest to break it all down.
I was kind of pissed mine lost.
And yours is good. I like yours. Yeah. Lemon Law
for
Dogs.
You can resubmit it.
Do that next week.
We changed the rules.
I got a good one next week.
Oh, I bet you do.
I got a real
good one. I got a good one also.
I'm going to win next week.
I'm tired of winning.
So, okay, but here's the problem I have with you, Fourier.
What?
You were so excited. You came in yesterday. You talked about this in the office. We were all excited. Fat people on planes. And since you blurted that out yesterday, you've never mentioned fat people. You're
fat.
Well,
here's the thing. So, do you know what this guy does? So, because I wanted to get some attention, right? So I can beat around the bush. I can tiptoe around it. But when Tyler was asking me, you know, what should I say? I said, I don't know. Do something that'll get the people going.
Big people.
So I went. Big people. So this guy, he sends me this tweet about somebody being plus size models being body shamed.
Big story.
He's trying to scare me off my topic, which my topic isn't necessarily about fat people.
I don't have a problem with the fluff part.
Can we tweet that out? Let's tweet that out. The story in the Globe right. From
so
yesterday.
So let me just start from the beginning.
Give me the story.
All right. So, and this is how I came up with this topic.
when that person was skinny before the plane took off.
No. So I take my son to Colorado, whatever, checking out the school. We come back, and sure enough, I'm about to get on the plane, and there's somebody sitting in my seat, aisle seat. Big person. Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to say female, whatever. Just a big person. And I'm like, hey, sorry, you're sitting in my seat.
Was it a female?
Stop it. I know what you're doing.
No, go ahead.
I know. And so I say, you're sitting in my seat. So they move over, yet half their body is still in my seat. So I'm sitting there going, well, this isn't right. This isn't fair because I paid for it.
You're a big guy.
Just like you did. You didn't pay for half my seat. So why are you getting half my seat? And then I remember all these people. You know when you walk on to the plane and you have your carry-on bag? And they stuffed that bag into the little thing to prove that this bag is big enough and small enough to go overhead.
Yes.
They have that thing right when you get on. I'm like, okay, well, they should have something like that for people.
And then what? You got to get by two seats?
You have to test out the seat.
Which is a bigger seat.
You fat ass.
Well, it's really an airline problem because the airline has to devote seats to people that are going to take up two seats. So if it's either a scale or it's some sort of like chair where you sit down on the chair, if you go into my seat, you either have to pay for half my ticket, or you devote and you actually use their seats in the back where they're a little bit bigger.
I think it's a good topic. I know for a fact
I am not the only person to have to deal with this.
No, it's a good topic because I recently went out to Vegas with my dad. My dad's, you know, a big fella.
Yep.
I was in the middle seat, gave him the window, want to pull into Vegas.
Right.
And the guy next to me was a big fella too.
Right.
I sat on my side like the entire trip, right? I was actually like sitting in my dad's lap. Because you know he had lifted up like the elbow armrest to give himself a little bit more room too, and I was like fine because it was just I actually wanted it down to keep him on that side, so I was like leaning on my dad the whole time. I was like cuddling with him because I couldn't get anywhere near that right side of my seat.
Good bonding trip.
It was a good bonding trip, but I know you're paying because you pay for a ticket too. You want to be comfortable, especially extra leg room.
So you're telling me if you get on a plane and you pay.
you know, you go into California, you pay for, you know, $400 for a ticket. It's a 6-hour flight. And sure enough, and no offense meant to anybody out there, it's just not right. So the airline, it's really an airline problem. They need to devote extra seating to people who are a little bit bigger, not big. My dad's big. It has nothing to do with
fat.
It's whatever.
It's about fat.
No, because I'll tell you what.
Here's the other thing.
Okay. So there's,
he doesn't bother
okay,
you on
do
a
you
plane.
Think Manute Bol? Okay, Manute. Okay, there's the other thing. So there's that. So I think people should be either weighed or they need to be stuffed into a version of your seat or suitcase.
Well, overhead no. Okay, suitcase. No, but you're talking about like...
So you stuff them into that thing. If they fit, then you can have a regular seat. If they don't fit,
no, can you imagine?
Then you have to keep them off.
Do me a favor. Go try to sit in your ass not that big.
Fenway.
Go try to sit in one of these seats at Fenway Park.
I sit in the luxury bar.
These seats at Fenway Park. Stop. Why don't you get first class?
No, but you're telling me... Let's
move spend first class on a plane?
Economy. Why I can't pay for economy?
This is true, because when you walk on a plane, you get your ticket. You know, you look in your, you know, row 12 or whatever it is, and you look and you see who's going to sit there. Imagine if you saw Trent Brown sitting next to you.
Oh my God!
Imagine if you saw Joe Tooney sitting next to you.
Yeah, I don't want to sit next to them. I don't want them to my seat either.
It's a big dude. Big, you're like, what the hell? How the hell am I going to sit next to this guy for 6 hours?
Well, Vince Wilfork was sitting next to me, and I didn't know he was just Vince Wilfork, just a guy, and I realized I had to sit next to him. And he's sitting in the middle seat. Do you think that's fair? I spent full price for a ticket, yet this guy's ass is sitting in half my seat? How is that fair? You pay, so he benefits from my seat.
You hate fat
I don't
people.
Think, no, it has nothing to do. You listen, you're big,
people.
I'm big, whatever.
It's got nothing to do with fat. It's just big bones.
Big. Trent Brown is big. He's big. Okay. Big. Joe Tooney is big. Dwayne Allen is big.
Not Gronk.
That's not
Gronk's
fair.
Not big anymore.
So my thing is, if you can't fit into a certain seat, then either the plane has to devote extra seating in the back of the plane, or you have to pay extra, or move me up to first class.
All right, you're making sense here.
Airlines should take like a few three-seat rows and make them two.
Yes.
You know what's always
just
this?
For those people. And listen, I get it. It's some people just can't control it. But the other thing that kind of bugs me is the armrest. I don't want to have to play a chicken with people when it comes to my airplane armrest.
So what do you do? Do you ask the other person? Do you want the armrest
up
or
just lift it up?
It becomes this weird thing where I'm trying to jockey for position so I get the armrest, and then they're jockeying for position. If they take their arm down for 1 second, then I put mine up. I feel like I have to keep it there so I don't lose it. And I feel like there should be like an app or something like that where I pay like an extra $5. And listen, I get the armrest for the entire flight.
$5.
Not only did I buy a ticket, but I actually own the armrest. If you didn't buy the armrest.
They charge you like 40.
There's no rules on the airplane, Glenn.
They charge you 40 or 50 if you want the extra space
in
front of you or more than
that. I want the armrest.
And by the way, the extra space does nothing width-wise, all right? I had an incident last year where I was on a plane. And there was a large woman. See, I'm not afraid to say there was a large woman. You're very
mine was a person.
No, you're very careful how you
with
say
pronouns.
It. You couldn't tell the difference between the, no, you couldn't. Okay, so there's this large woman.
I'm not fat,
and I can always tell when they request the belt extender. You know you're in trouble, right? You know you're in trouble. So she's sitting in the center seat, and I'm in the aisle because I always like getting aisle seats because I can get on and off real quickly, get up. So I asked her to move. Because the plane, the doors had closed, we're taking off right now. I asked if she would move over to the window seat, and I would take the aisle seat, and we'd have all the space in between that I wouldn't have, as you said.
Wait, so even though there was three seats.
Only two of them were filled.
Her assigned seat was the middle.
What you need to do. Here's what you need to do.
Let me finish this. So I asked her to go to the aisle. She goes, I'm afraid of looking out. The thing. Okay,
there's a gremlin on the on the wing.
So I always like aisle seats. I said, I will move over to the window. Why don't you come over here and take the aisle seat? So she gets out, and then I get back in and sit there. She comes back and sits in the middle. Seat. And I said, excuse me, I thought we had an agreement that I was going to sit in the window and you were going to sit in the aisle. Hey, ma'am, how's that grill? No lie. She said, I'm already out of my assigned seat. What happens if we crash? They won't be able to identify me. And I'm sitting there looking at her like, are you kidding me?
That's ridiculous.
She said that to me.
You use your teeth. They're going to identify you by your teeth. Okay. At this point, if you're dead, who cares if they can't identify you?
Christian, we just saw this story.
All right. What?
Tyler just gave me. Apparently, a man charged an obese passenger sitting next to him on a plane $150 for encroaching on his seat, and the man was happy to pay it. This is March 4th, 2019, and it got into the discussion. Apparently, you need to fly Alaska Airlines. because they actually state, we quote, we require the purchase of an additional seat for any customer who cannot comfortably fit within one seat with the armrest in down position.
That's fair. Yes.
American Airlines. For the safety and comfort of all customers, if a customer's body extends more than 1 inch before the outermost edge of the armrest and a seatbelt extension is needed, another seat is required.
Okay, so I'm not crazy. I'm not, I knew that I was.
You are crazy, okay, but in this issue, you might be right.
United Airlines has it as well.
Because here's the thing, because I remember during the whole flight, it was a 4.5 hour flight, 4 hour flight, and my whole left side of my leg was hot as can be because the body temperature rose so crazy.
Really,
because I
cruel to fat
people. because I couldn't get away. What was I supposed to do? Lean on my side? And
yes.
Then, God forbid, I
you cross your leg and you lean on the left.
Yes, and it's just
and
so
you
they
sit
need
on your left
to
cheek for
either
6 hours.
Either you weigh them in before they go on the plane, or you stuff them into some sort of seat that proves that they're not going to take up your chair.
Don't be the fat guy at the buffet line and eats fast.
So Gillette Air. they may be Gillette Air, but Gillette Razors. We saw this piece a while back. They started featuring women in their ads, and everybody was, you know, trying to figure out why they're doing all of this. And so yesterday, they came out and they tweeted a picture that showed model and lifestyle blogger Anna O'Brien. She's known as Glitter and Lasers. Do you follow her?
Who? I do not. Should Glitter I follow her? Do you want to see her? Follow? She like
her
Rex
right
Chapman?
She's cute.
Yeah.
She's cute.
You lie.
What? That's her.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's her in a bikini. Yeah. So she's a real large woman. Would you say that?
I thought he was joking.
No.
So, I honestly thought it was joking.
No, it's her. It's part of the ad.
So yeah.
So the ad turned bad, right? There was people tweeting, body shaming her, yep. And then people were ripping Gillette for putting her on there.
Yeah, but now... Because we're in 2019, everybody is coming to the support of this woman. What's her name? Glitter and Lasers.
Well, she tweeted out she's fine with it. She did it.
Yeah, she did it. And Gillette's coming to the defense. So what you just did, I think you made an awful lot of sense. And it's unfortunate for those people that
are... But there are airlines that are doing this.
And airlines are doing this right now. But you know you delved into dangerous territory because you're...
Obviously not. I actually feel pretty good about it.
No, you're being cruel to
people. No, I'm not. No. It is common courtesy.
That's what we got out of this Gillette ad.
Well, no, but that's totally different. I'm telling you, I pay full price for a seat. I am not paying for somebody else to take half my seat. So why should I put up with that? I pay full price. You pay full price. Would you be okay with me taking half your seat, even if I wasn't big? Let's say I spread my legs the whole time, and I just felt like sleeping on you. Maybe I'm just leaning my head on. Is that okay with you? Can I give you $150 so I can lean my head on you? And maybe get some sleep. No,
Rub my leg.
Devote some seats to the back. What's the big deal? Just devote some extra seats
to
the back.
Right.
Do you fart in a plane the same way you do in the studio?
No. I keep it quiet. I crop dust people all the time.
Awful. All right, we're going to get to some phone calls on this one. So this is his big gripe right now in life. I mean, Christian, you know, he's got a real problem here in life. So we get to the phone calls coming up next. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.